o'clock hour of the Burns and Gambo show.
Already?
Yeah, I know, right?
My God, what happened?
Got a lot of shows like that.
5 o'clock already.
Flying by.
See, I get to work with you, and it's just so much fun, and time flies. Look at that.
Is this the part where I'm supposed to say, it's fun working with you, Gambo, time flies?
Oh, no. Okay. It's a challenge.
No, it's actually, it's not.
It's not?
No, it's not at all. No, are you kidding me?
I'm easy.
A challenge?
I'm easy to work with.
A challenge?
No, I am easy to work with.
Yes, you are easy.
People think like I'm a hard guy. I'm not a hard guy to work with.
I have fun working with you.
Yeah.
I have fun.
I'm not high maintenance. I'm not like my wife. I'm easy to work with.
You're not looking to sell furniture that you just bought
for a month
$2,000? No, you're not like that at all. No, shows. When we have a good show like today, man, the 4 hours just fly by. I love doing shows. Yeah, it just flies by. No, you're easy to work with. You're a piece of cake. You're not a challenge at all. The challenge is going to be in the Cardinals game this Sunday and how nasty it could get out there if Sam Bradford struggles. And you and I are both going to be at the game on Sunday. I shudder to think about how bad it can be if this team is as poor offensively as they have been in weeks one and two, what that crowd is going to sound like, what that's going to resonate like with Cardinal fans. And there's no doubt, and you and I both agree on this 100%, if we had a mortgage payment to wager and Sam Bradford struggles the way he has the first two games, there is zero doubt in my mind, and I would wager a mortgage payment. Josh Rosen will be in at halftime in the second half of this game.
I would almost be certain that the decision's already been made internally by everybody in the organization that if Bradford can't get this offense going, this is the week they make the change. I will be floored, if we come in here on Monday and the Cardinals got throttled and Bradford played the whole game and he was terrible and Rosen didn't get in. I will be floored. So if they're down 21-0 at halftime and they end up losing the game by 5 touchdowns and Rosen doesn't get a sniff, I'll be shocked.
Well, because the question then to Coach Wilkes would be, what exactly are you waiting for? Right?
Right.
And if he doesn't give a satisfactory answer to that question, then you kind of have to wonder. I was wondering it last week against the Rams. Now, it didn't happen. He had his reasons to have it not happen. But if it happens again, I do think you're absolutely right. It will be sort of a, wait.
How do you justify not putting him in?
Yeah, you justified it in week two. Okay.
Yeah.
How can you justify it in back-to-back weeks? Now, hopefully, and I've said this and I'll keep saying this, hopefully Sam Bradford plays well enough that it doesn't come to that. To me, that's still perfect world situation. That's perfect. Perfect world scenario right there. In a perfect world, Sam Bradford plays so well you don't have to consider it. But there's no doubt that Josh Rosen has got to be sharp, has got to be ready, and probably in the back of his mind knows, boy, if Sam has another bad first half, I'm in.
I think you mentally start to get more ready now. No one had as bad as Brad. And I'm sure that they give you an indication, too, that, hey, this could be the week. Just be ready. You know, just be ready.
Yeah.
Just continue to be ready, because your number could get called at any time right here. And so, listen, I'm hopeful that Bradford plays better. I'm hopeful that what I've seen on film changes and that he starts to find open receivers and that he, stops getting rid of the ball so quickly. I mean, I know it's a good pass rush, but you know what? If you can't make your reads, and you're just throwing it to the first guy, you're not going to be successful at all. There's no chance.
Steve Wilkes, I should say, media availability today. How much longer do you stick with Sam Bradford if he struggles?
Sam is doing some good things. I'm not going to sit here and talk about, whether or not he performs bad. I want him to perform well, and I want everybody around him to perform well. So in saying that, we're going to make sure that we just continue to stay positive and do everything that we can to get our first win this week.
I can't help but to look what happened last night in Cleveland, and I think a lot of Cardinal fans are doing the same thing. Now, Tyrod Taylor left that game with an injury, but he very easily could have been benched in that game at halftime due to performance. He was miserable last night. He was 4-14 with a bunch of sacks.
For 19 yards.
Yeah, Baker Mayfield was probably coming in that game anyway. The injury just sort of accelerated the timeline a little bit. Josh Rosen is now, remarkably, or maybe not remarkably, the last of the first rounders to get into a regular season game. All the other guys have done it.
Darnold started all three games. Allen started last week, but Allen actually got into week one as well. Mayfield Mayfield got into the game last night. He's probably going to start against the Raiders in 10 days. And Lamar Jackson got in, you know, as a backup to Flacco. Not starting, but just a little bit of reps. Rosen is the last guy that hasn't played. Now, it's amazing because we're only 3 weeks into the season. And I don't know what any of these teams' plans were, but they all went to their quarterbacks quickly. I mean, Buffalo went to Allen right away. They had no choice. Peterman might be the worst quarterback I've ever seen in my life. He might be. He might be the worst quarterback that we've ever seen.
I think you're onto something here. The Bills didn't have a choice. Peterman's awful. The Browns didn't have a choice. Tyrod Taylor's awful. The Cardinals?
They have a choice.
They do, but if Sam Bradford plays like that on Sunday in the first half, they don't have a choice. They don't. The choice is made for them. If there's no different. Sam Bradford's got a history and a pedigree that Tyrod Taylor and Nathan Peterman don't. I'll give you that. But based off of how they've played this year, if the Bills had no choice, and I agree they didn't, and if the Browns had no choice, and I'll agree they didn't, the Cardinals have no choice if Sam Bradford is that bad again in the first half of Sunday's game. None. Don't you think? Don't you think they don't have a choice? He has been that bad.
Yeah, I'll buy it. Got no choice. Got to put him in.
Yep.
I mean, if you're down 2-3 scores and your offense can't move, three and out. I mean, you're not doing your defense any favors. Wilkes is the defensive guy. You think he wants all those three? How many three and outs did they have last week?
Too many to count.
I mean, I think I wrote it down. I'm going to look, but I think half their freaking plays were three and outs.
I think they had
like 10 three and outs.
What, 4 third downs all season? I think they're 4 for 20 third down conversions so far this year.
Just trying to think. They had only 5 first downs.
Yeah.
They went 3 and out on 5 out of 10 drives.
There you go.
Half your drive. You think you want your defense back on the field that quickly? So, you're Steve Wilkes?
So, I mean.
But you're a defensive guy. You take pride in your defense.
Of course. And they're getting gashed out there in part because they're on the field all the time.
The offense can't stay on the field.
Right. So, the only other, the Jets, they had a choice. It was McCown or Darnold, and they made it clear almost from day one that everybody knew Darnold was going to be the guy from day one. So when we talk about these teams and how, man, all these general managers, all these organizations, they're not waiting around with these rookie quarterbacks. They're playing these rookies right away. Most of these organizations don't have an option. I'm sure in a perfect world, the Bills would have sat on Josh Allen a little longer. Nathan Peterman was terrible. I'm sure in a perfect world, the Browns would have waited longer on Baker Mayfield. They can't. Tyrod Taylor is hurt. Well,
the Bills screwed up. I mean, they had a decent quarterback that they traded for a fifth-round pick in A.J. McCarron. Like, you had a quarterback there. You decided to keep Nathan Peterman? I mean, seriously? Nathan Peterman? That's the quarterback you capped?
No doubt.
I mean, that literally might be the worst quarterback that's ever played in the National Football League.
That game from Baker Mayfield last night is going to really raise the expectation of what Cardinal fans are going to expect out of their rookie quarterback when he gets in the game. He was electric last night.
He fumbled a ball, and it got recovered by his offensive lineman. And he threw a pass in the end zone that should have been picked off, and it hit the safety in the shoulder pads and popped away. He could have, I mean, he averted danger.
Sure.
On two plays that would have changed the whole complexion of how well he played.
And 3 weeks from now, he might be just as bad as Sam Darnold was last night in week 3 of his season after he was so good in week 1. I mean, that's rookie quarterbacks. I mean, as good as Baker Mayfield was last night, there's no guarantee he's going to be that good all year. Sam Darnold was good in week 1. He was terrible last night. That's the rookie quarterback roller coaster all these guys are going to ride all year long.
Yeah, and you don't listen. Time will tell on these guys. I believe the Cardinals had Darnold rated the lowest out of the 4 quarterbacks, not counting Lamar Jackson. But I think out of Mayfield, Rosen, Allen, and Darnold, they had Darnold rated the lowest out of those 4.
Come watch the ASU versus Washington game with Arizona Sports tomorrow with the cold beers and cheeseburgers on Scottsdale Road, just south of the 101 in North Scottsdale, giving away ASU gear, tickets to the Oregon State game, and other great prizes from Coors Light. Visit the events page at arizonasports.com for more details. The Bears defense is off to a fast start this season, and it has led to some comparisons that are a little nuts, but maybe fit. That's next here on 98.7 FM Arizona Sports Station. John Gambadoro, Dave Burns. We are the Burns and Gambo Show. Hanging out live today. Boy, you never know who's going to pop in to see you here on the Albertsons, at the Albertsons, 83rd Avenue in Deer Valley. Friends, former colleagues, listeners, all sorts of people coming by and saying hi here at the Albertsons, 83rd Avenue and Deer Valley. Score great deals at Safeway and Albertsons is back. At this Albertsons right now, you walk around the store, you find specially marked items. Buy $15 worth of those specially marked items, and you can find them at any Albertsons or Safeways. Go to school. You'll get a code when you check out. Go to scoregreatdeals.com.
You got the code.
Do I have the code?
You got the code?
No, I don't have the code.
Oh.
I didn't buy $15 worth of items.
You got to get the code.
But you got to get the code. You have the code. Now you could be entered to win all sorts of cool stuff, a exclusive pregame tailgate party at State Farm Stadium, and then that could turn into a 2019 Ford Mustang from the Arizona Ford dealers, a $10,000 trip to Hawaii, groceries for a year, and all that stuff.
And now featuring Four Peaks Golden Lager. At all Safeway and Albertson stores, 12 packs of all your favorite Four Peaks beer on sale this week, $14.99 at all Safeway and Albertson stores.
All right, so come by and see us today. We're here for another 40 minutes or so. 83rd Avenue in Deer Valley here on the Burns and Gambo Show. The Chicago Tribune, a fine publication, had the audacity to statistically compare this Chicago Bears defense to the great Chicago Bears defenses of the mid to late 80s. And there is...
Yeah, I guess they did.
And there is, I guess, one number where you could say, and be factually correct...
Sacks.
That they're on pace to be as good as that defense was in one category, and that's sacks.
Yeah, sacks. They have 10 sacks right now, which is on pace for 80. The record for sacks is the Bears team, you know, back in 84. They had 72 sacks in 1984. Now, last year, the Steelers had the most sacks with 56. And let me just say, it's I don't know that 72 will be caught by anybody anytime soon. Offenses are designed to get rid of the ball quickly,
mm-hmm.
So the quarterbacks don't take hits. So offenses are designed to avoid sacks as much as possible, get rid of the ball quick, and not just hold the ball and wait. So to get 72 sacks in the season, I don't know if we're going to ever see that. I really don't. The Saints came the closest. They had 66 back in 2000, but that was still 18 years ago. They had 66 sacks. They came the closest to the Bears' record of 72. This Bears team has 10. And the interesting nugget to me took me by surprise, 8 of the 10 sacks came when I only rushed 4 guys.
That's the scary part.
And I didn't blitz. And then Eddie Jackson says, man, we haven't even blitzed yet. And we have 10 sacks. That was at safety. He said that. We haven't even blitzed.
Look, that was a good defense before they got Khalil Mack. That was an up-and-coming defense before they got Khalil Mack. Being able to kind of go for it and add Khalil Mack. And you ask any quarterback, we've had this conversation with Kurt Warner 100 times. And, man, the defenses that can consistently bring pressure without blitzing, those are the ones to be scared to death of. Because a smart quarterback can figure out a blitz, right? A smart quarterback knows where to throw it in a blitz. If you're bringing pressure with just 4 and you're dropping 7, you're screwed. I mean, you're in such trouble. You've got to work that much harder to figure out how you're going to score points. Now, the comparisons to the mid to late 80s Bears, I mean, I get it. The sack numbers are comparable. I do think this is a totally different style of NFL football than we saw, you know, those 30 some odd years ago when those teams were dominant. They just don't. Now the ball comes out much quicker. But make no mistake, this Bears defense is good. They know they're good. And more importantly, Gambo, they know they're responsible for winning football games for the Chicago Bears, because offensively, Mitchell Trubisky, it's all still very much a work in progress right now. The Bears defense knows they kind of have to carry that team for a while.
You know, that Bears defense, you know, back in 84, I mean, Richard Dent was unbelievable, and Steve McMichael and Dan Hampton and Hartenstein was unreal. Otis Wilson, there was so many. Gary Fensick was on that team. Wilbur Marshall was on that team. I mean, that defense is... probably Dave Duerson was such a great player. I mean, one of the best defenses we've ever seen, like ever. I mean, it was that, you know, Mike Singletary, one of the great defenses of all time. This defense is not, it's not comparable to that. But again, you just look at the sacks numbers. You say, okay, they got 10, and they do. Khalil Mack has made such a difference for them. I mean, he's been on the field for 7 of their 10 sacks that they have. And one of the things that Mack does is that he collapses the edge. He flushes out the quarterback. He kind of allows other guys to make sacks because of just how disruptive he is and how much emphasis you have to put on trying to stop him as an offense.
Steve Wilks today, head coach of the Cardinals, explained to the media why he closed one of the practices this week to the sound of booing coming from the speakers so that the players could hear it as they were walking off the field.
Just very simple. You know, we always talk about if you don't learn from history, you're bound to repeat it. And I want those guys to understand, number one, we're playing for each other, we're playing for ourselves, but we are playing for our fans. And it's important that we put a quality product out on the field, something that they can be proud of, and most important, that we feel like represents us. And we didn't do that the first 2 weeks, so I thought it was important that they heard that, so we don't hear it again.
Now, if I were covering the Bears, I probably would have written or come up with some kind of line like this. The Chicago Tribune, another story that you sent to me, a different story that you sent to me, in regards to the Bears defense going up against this Cardinals offense, quote, "Here come the Cardinals, winless and hapless, the NFL's version of the Wheel of Fortune puzzle prize." Here's another one, quote.
What's the puzzle prize?
The puzzle prize is, it's where you get to guess. I'll take an R, an S, a T, I pick one vowel, and then Vanna goes and turns all the letters, and then you have to pick the, and it's usually pretty easy.
Okay.
If you pick the right letters, it's usually pretty easy to get. That's the Wheel of Fortune puzzle prize. And then another one, quote, "It looks like the Bears called down to concierge to schedule a spa day."
Oh, man. Double ouch.
That's their reaction to playing the Cardinals.
Well, I mean, listen. I mean, the Cardinals have they've made this bet. They got to lie in it,
yeah.
Okay? The Bears defense actually has more touchdowns than the Cardinals offense through 2 games. They do. The Bears defense has more touchdowns than the Cardinals offense.
Yes, they do.
And so
tells
this,
you just about everything you need to know.
Listen, I think things can change. I do think things can change quickly. And I even, for some reason, and I don't know why, I think the Cardinals are going to win this game. But this is the, listen, teams are making fun of them, and they put themselves in this position.
If they do, you truly have lived the most charmed life of any human being walking the face of the earth.
If
you get this one right and I owe you lunch, you are living the most charmed life of them all. Let's drop a little knowledge on you here on the Burns and Gambo Show.
You must learn.
It's the Knowledge Drop.
The Knowledge Drop.
The Knowledge Drop.
The Knowledge Drop brought to you by Lifetime's Windows. Did you know Infinity from Marvin's fiberglass frames are 8 times stronger than vinyl? Visit LifetimeWindowsAZ.com. What we learned today on the show, we mentioned this earlier, Andre Smith is out. John Wetzel is getting the start at right tackle. He is going to be charged with slowing down Khalil Mack. Right now, John Wetzel is the best graded offensive lineman per Pro Football Focus on the Cardinals offensive line. The knowledge that we dropped earlier, Gambo, he has given up 1 pressure on 70 blocking snaps so far through 2 games, according to Pro Football Focus.
Memo to John Wetzel. Enjoy it while you can. You got 2 more days of being the highest rated offensive lineman on the Cardinals.
Should he put that on a frame and put it in his den at home? Hey, for 2 weeks, I was.
It's like your employee of the month. How many days are there in September? How many? I'm not. I'm really bad at this stuff. The days.
There's 31.
There's 30. It's like
31
it's,
in September.
It's 30. It's like
30. Okay.
It's September 28th, and you were employee of the month. And in 2 days, you're not going to be employee of the month anymore. Enjoy the last 2 days of that parking spot, that free parking spot that you get for being an employee of the month. Because, you know, come Monday, somebody else is parking in that garage.
That's what I like.
Somebody
about,
else is parking there.
That's what I like about working with you. Sometimes you can be so cruel, and it's so funny. It's so funny sometimes.
I'm just saying, man.
That's just not nice. I mean, it's true, but
enjoy it while you can.
Not nice at all.
Because there's going to be a new employee of the month come Monday, because you're going up against Khalil Mack. I'm not expecting you to be the highest rated Cardinals offensive lineman on Monday.
A week ago, it would have been a top 25 matchup. But ASU fans would be smart to temper their expectations for Saturday, and Gambo's going to tell you why next on the Burns and Gambo Show.
See you, Andy the G.
All right, Andy.
We appreciate it, man. Appreciate everything you did.
Have a good life.
Andy Green. Oh, we're going to...
Bye, guys.
We're going to see him. It's not like he's not going to be... He'll be around and still like a...
Just in case.
Every now and then.
And he's got a baby coming.
He does. He's got a baby coming, and he's being a responsible father. And we respect that above everything else here on the Burns and Gambo Shows. We welcome you back on this Football Friday live from the Albertsons, 83rd Avenue in Deer Valley. We'll still be here for about a half hour or so if you want to come by and say hi. We still have Diamondback tickets. Yes, we still have Diamondback tickets.
And absolutely. If you stop by your local Albertsons, you can help feed the children. Donate a $1 or purchase a pre-made $5 bag with food to end childhood hunger.
There you go.
Right here at Albertsons.
You can do that. I see the bags right over there. As a matter of fact, it'd be a good idea to do that if you stop by any Albertsons. We spoke about this earlier. In as nice as an ASU victory would be over UW, you instructed our audience, A, not to count on it, and B, when it doesn't happen, don't worry about it.
Don't worry about it. They're not winning. Like, they're not winning this week. Washington's too good. ASU can't beat them. They're better. They're deeper. So what you got to look at is, like, and I'm just trying to be honest here. ASU's not winning this football game at Washington. 70,000 fans, Husky Stadium, good football team. They're not winning the game. But what I look at is the next six games after that, all winnable. Oregon State, Utah, Stanford, UCLA, all at home. On the road against Colorado, USC. They can really make a serious move here. So to me, it's not like I'm not going to get upset if they lose to Washington. I'm not, because they're not going to win.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not going to get upset if they lose that game. But I'm looking at the next six games after that, and I'm saying, can they go 4-2? Can they go 4-2? Because that's the meat of the schedule. Hey, listen, they opened the season with their first four games, two of them against top 20 teams.
Right.
Michigan State and Washington. That's the hard part of the schedule. Now, after the Washington game, and I'm not saying that there's not some hard games. Stanford's a good football
team. Stanford's going to be a hard game, but that's home.
But it's
here.
But it's still a hard game. It's still a hard game. But I do think when you look at those six games, can you say that there's not one game in there they can't win? No, they can. They can win all of those games.
Based off of what we've seen so far, I think they absolutely have a chance in all of those games.
Sure.
Right. No doubt about it. Go ahead. Finish your thought.
So the point is, I'm not they're not going to win, and I'm not going to be upset about it.
Yeah.
Because I'm going to say, okay, they're 2-2, and now here comes a part of the schedule where they might be able to do a little bit of damage here.
I think the fact that the Pac-12 South looks so soft is really benefiting the Sun Devils here. And what I mean by that is okay, so you're looking at the schedule a little bit. They lose against Washington, they're 2-2. When people looked at the schedule for ASU, they looked at Stanford, USC, and Utah at the end of October, the beginning of November, and went, uh-oh, that's a real tough stretch. Now, Stanford's still good. I like Stanford a lot. USC, they're not as good as people thought they were going to be. Utah, they're all right. They're always all right, but I don't know how good they are. That stretch, because the Pac-12 South just looks so mushy right now, suddenly those games don't look as bad as they did a month ago or 2 months ago.
Right.
I mean, it's kind of like the NFL, how you reevaluate the schedule as you go along.
Yeah, and ASU.
And ASU looks better.
And listen, the expectations for ASU, even after the Michigan State game, I mean, we tried to be very realistic, me and you, very realistic. Can they get to a bowl game? Can they become bowl eligible and get to a bowl game? Because that would be a good accomplishment when a lot of people thought that, you know, this train was going to be derailed and they were going to flop and they were going to win three football games.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? If they could get to a bowl game, tremendous accomplishment in this first season with a signature win over Michigan State at home, top 20 team. And I know Bickley said, and he's right, that what a special season it would be if they could beat Washington. Right? Didn't he say that?
Beating Washington means you're on your way to a special. You can't have a special season without beating Washington.
Yeah.
I'll give him that.
They can have, and you know, I don't know what special is. I mean, special to me is, you know, you win 10 plus games.
I think that's what you're talking
they're
about.
Not winning, they're not winning 10 plus games, and they're not winning on the road at Washington. Okay, so let's just get that out of our head. Hey, they are not winning, but I don't. But I'm not concerned with the fact that they're not winning. And I look at this year as a good building block. I'll tell you something else, Sun Devil fans. Get a hold of this. Ready? You know who they don't play next year? And you know who they don't play the year after that?
They don't play Washington next year or the year after that. And they don't play Stanford next year or the year after that. So over the next 2 years, two of the perennial powers in the Pac-12, they don't play.
Yeah.
They don't play. Now, I know we're thinking about this year right now, but they do not play Washington or Stanford. That's four games that you would have. They don't play them in the next 2 years.
And I think you can count on Washington and Stanford both being good. Now, I mean, ASU, that's always been the rub, right? New coach comes in, there's a spike, they play really well in the first year, and then in the following years, they don't. Now, we've seen that with Cutter. We saw that with Erickson. We saw that to a certain extent with Graham. So I'll worry about next year. Next year, I mean, I think that's an important fact to note in the back of your mind, but it'd be nice to take advantage of this year. This year, look, this Washington game, it's going to be wet, it's going to be cold, it's going to be loud. I mean, they were what? The San Diego State Stadium, the old Qualcomm Stadium, seats about, what, 30,000? This is 70,000. They're going to be loud. It's going to be cold. It's going to be wet. And more than anything else, forget the revenge game thing for a minute, because ASU beat Washington last year. Washington is in a situation where they have to win this game. If they lose, they're out.
Because their expectations are playoffs.
Yep.
College football playoff.
You're not getting there if
even
you lose this
game. Even with the loss to Auburn, yep, their expectation is run the tables, be the Pac-12 champs, and have a chance to go to one of the playoff teams.
You can get there with one loss if your one loss is basically a road game against Auburn. You can get there. You can't get there if you have two losses. Any other loss from Washington and they're eliminated. They're eliminated from the conversation.
Yeah, and they are certainly not going to get eliminated by ASU. Now, if they could lose to another, you know, to a much better team, they might be able to live with that. But and listen, this is not a knock on ASU. Washington's better.
Well, they're
a better team.
They're loaded.
They're a deeper team. They're at home. This is such a hard road trip. And I'm just trying to be realistic here, man. They're not winning. But I'm not going to sit here and, oh, ASU's 2-2. You see the train. It's the red. No, man. I'm not going there. ASU could still have a good season. They have a lot of games coming up that they could win. Maybe they can get bowl eligible, go to a bowl game, and that would be a really good accomplishment for Herman.
Herm Edwards earlier this week, how Washington is a very tough team to play on the road.
They're an opponent that's very tough at home. We know that. Points this year, thus far, they've averaged about 27 points. They're giving up about 10 points or so. They can run the football. They're very balanced. So this is a good test for our football team.
Yeah, it's going to be a good test. And I think playing back-to-back road games, we talked about that yesterday with John Wilner, Pac-12 insider from the San Jose Mercury News, who points out since the beginning of last year, teams in this conference that have had to play back-to-back road games, okay, against at least one conference opponent with no bye week in between, 3-17 on the back end of that back-to-back.
Yeah, that's...
And 1-14 when you take away Oregon State. Take Oregon, who was awful last year. Take Oregon State out of the equation. Teams are 1-14 on the back end of a back-to-back road set like this, like the Devils are playing. It's
a tough chore.
It's a tough chore.
There's a reason why Washington's a 17.5-point favorite. 17.5?
Yeah.
I mean, this isn't a 7-point game. It's 17.5-point favorites. I mean, they know something. We know something. And again, no knock on ASU if they lose this game. I promise I won't be in here Monday down on ASU if they lose that football game.
I know we're not moral victory guys. If they can play Washington close, I'll feel a lot better about their chances to be able to really make some hay the six games after the Washington game.
If you know, I'm not a moral victory guy either, but you know what? All right, I'll buy that.
If they lose by a field goal, a touchdown,
can they build off of that?
And now we really start looking at these next six games, the Gambo Six. You want to call them the Gambo?
Oh,
the Gambo Six.
We start looking at
the Gambo Six. I'm going to feel better about their chances to compete the Gambo Six if they compete and keep it close against Washington as opposed to getting blown out.
Yeah, I will. Four out of those six are at home.
Yeah.
Two of them are on the road. And again, I think the toughest game is probably, because I do think Stanford's good.
Because yeah,
they're physical on both lines. They got Bryce Love. I mean, Costello. I mean, I think Stanford is a tough game. I do.
Pack a bag and join the 2030 Club of Phoenix for the 10th annual Phoenix Suitcase Party on Friday, October 26th.
Suitcase party.
Night's going to be filled with food and drinks from the Valley's top restaurants, live music, auctions, and a chance to win a trip on a private plane to and from either Vegas or Los Angeles. Head to the rewards page at ArizonaSports.com for details and your chance to win. It was just 3 weeks ago they were in first place, and the numbers help to illustrate just how complete this collapse has been. That's coming up on the Burns and Gambo Show.
The home of Arizona Diamondbacks baseball is 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. We're checking in on the Diamondbacks as they warm up for the game's first pitch. D-backs on deck, presented by Cox. Get Cox high-speed internet for $29.99 a month for 12 months and ask about panoramic Wi-Fi. Learn more at cox.com.
D-backs on deck is the Arizona Diamondbacks with the roof open, according to rumors that we're hearing. Maybe they've made it official yet. I don't know, but I just like saying rumors. Rumor has it the roof is going to be open tonight as the Diamondbacks are opening up a three-game series against the Colorado Rockies. It's time for tonight's pitching matchup brought to you by Berg Simpson Law Firm. When the game is on the line and you've been injured, nobody matches up to Berg Simpson. Visit BergSimpson.com. That's B-U-R-G Simpson.com. Tonight's matchup, Zach Greinke, 14-10 with a 3.20 ERA, taking on Germán Márquez for the Colorado Rockies, 12-10, 3.96 ERA tonight at Chase Field.
You know, it's a topic for another day, but I do wonder now with Zach Greinke if we could be seeing one of the last games for Zach Greinke in a Diamondback uniform. Is there, you know, if they decide to make some changes, could he be a guy that they decide to trade and see if there's a taker because of that massive contract? So it's, you know, you think about all these things as you get to the end of the season, and you know a team's got, you know, big decisions to make, and the Diamondbacks clearly have big decisions to make with A.J. Pollock and Patrick Corbin. But if they can't keep those guys, would they go ahead and, you know, entertain offers for Zach Greinke? It'd be interesting to see.
I agree. It is a topic for another day, but a very interesting topic for another day. I'll say this, though, real quick. Zach Greinke, who's, what did I say, 14-10, 3.20 ERA. He's been good.
He's had a good year.
He's had a really good year.
It was at one time it was better than good.
Yeah, it's
it was at one time much better than good.
It slowed up his last four or five starts, right? I think he's got an ERA over 4.5 in his last four or five starts. I will say this. You're halfway through that contract now with Zach Greinke. He's got 3 years left with just a little more than $100 million on it. If you did want to move him, I don't think you'd have to eat as much of it as you would have thought you would have had to a couple years ago. Based off of how well he's pitched, I think you could move that deal if you wanted to, if you really wanted to. And not have
I
to
still
eat
think
as
you,
much of that $100 million.
But you admit you have to eat something.
Oh, you'd have to eat something. Yeah. I don't think you could find someone now to take the whole contract off.
Listen, after his first year here, Jason Stark wrote an amazing piece on Diamondbacks got to get rid of Greinke now.
It's Buster Olney.
Buster Olney, excuse me.
No problem.
Got the wrong guy, because I saved the article. Buster Olney wrote a piece on it's time to trade Greinke now. They held on to Greinke. They made the playoffs last year. They held on to Greinke this year, and they made a push. I mean, they were in it up until September, right? They were in it up until like a week or two ago.
Yeah.
So, like, Greinke has not been a terrible contract. He's pitched good for them.
3 years, about $104 million left on that deal. He has aged well as a pitcher, as we kind of thought he would, right? That he has the stuff and the mindset, even when he starts losing velocity on his fastball.
You pay $40 million. Some team would pay Greinke $20 million for the next 3 years. You'd have to pay $40. That's my guess.
We'll see if they get there. Meanwhile, speaking of Greinke, Troy Lovello pregame today. Zach Greinke came to him with a request.
We'll tell you this. Zach Greinke came into our office, in my office, and said, look, if I pitch on this day and on this day, I will pitch on 4 days rest on the final day of the season. So that ought to tell you where his head's at and where the rest of the guys are at. They feel like they want to maximize some chances to win some games. And he told me that. We looked at it a little bit closer, and we felt like this was the best situation for us.
Okay, so, and Torrey, I wanted to make clear he wanted it known what Greinke was willing to do by offering to do this.
He'll be on 4 days rest, yeah. So I'm just being a little transparent with you guys and sharing some of the intimacy, intimate moments that we're having in there, and I thought that should be known that Zach Greinke is offering to do that.
I know what you're going to say because I'm going to say the same thing. So,
what are you offering
to pitch on less days rest?
Why?
To maximize every start you can while you're quote unquote still in the race.
Stop. Just stop. Does Zach Greinke not know they're out of it? Has Zach looked at the standings?
Well, we'll get to the standings in just a moment, but if he were to look at the standings, he would know they're really not in it anymore. Look, it's a nice gesture. It is. It's a nice gesture, but it is way too little, and it is way too late. It's nice that he offered to do it, But it really doesn't serve much of a function anymore, does it?
I don't
know. Not with this team six out with nine to play. It's a nice gesture. I mean, it's okay. Hey, it's great. And I'm glad Torrey wanted the world to know about Zach Greinke's nice gesture. But in terms of practical application, given their situation, there's not a ton of value in it.
I don't even think you can make the playoffs if you go 9-0.
At this point?
I mean, I don't even think... What'd you say, nine games left?
Nine games left. They go 9-0. They would finish with 88 wins. I don't know if that'd be enough. It certainly wouldn't be enough to win the division. Might be enough to get you in a wild card. But even then, I don't think... No, you know what? I don't even think then. St. Louis is sitting at 84 wins. Milwaukee's sitting at 87 wins. The Rockies are at 82. Even if you went out and get to 88, I don't know if that would be enough to get you in. So, anyway...
Well, thanks, Zach. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Torrey, today, pregame. Did you get any reaction from the starters that you benched the other night?
Yeah. I had a lot of good conversation with those guys. I like to keep that between me and them. I appreciated what they said. There was a lot of pushback. Obviously, it was a weird day. This room asked me some really good questions about my thoughts. The players felt the same way.
So sounds like it was. Torrey said it was awkward explaining to the media why he did it. I would surmise that it was awkward explaining to his parent to his players why he did it. If it was awkward telling it to us, it must have been awkward telling it to them.
He was getting tortured in Milwaukee.
So the stories go,
I think the Cubs, did the Cubs lose again today?
I don't know.
I think the Cubs may have lost today. I mean, Milwaukee's like two and a half games out, two games out. So in Milwaukee, like, what the hell are you doing? Integrity of the game, buddy. And then they won the game. Okay, never mind.
Thank you.
Cubs lost today 10-4.
10-4,
Cubs
lost. Okay.
I mean, literally, Milwaukee's like two games out.
Mm-hmm.
So
Milwaukee is two games out, yes.
Yeah, so like this is like, you know, so there was that to worry about a little bit. Are you offending Milwaukee?
Let's look at the standings. Brought to you by Negrete Law Firm, Arizona's hometown law firm at NegreteLawFirm.com. Diamondbacks right now are six out with nine to play. Dodgers lead the division 85-68. They're taking on the Padres tonight. Colorado's two and a half back. The Diamondbacks are six back. The official elimination number, combination of Dodgers wins and D-backs losses that would eliminate the Diamondbacks, is four. In the wild card, I think it's a similar number, their elimination number for this season.
So even if you win all your games, if the Dodgers win four
more, you're
and
out.
And the Dodgers got San Diego right now. They get the Padres for three games.
Yeah. No, I mean, we know. I mean, look, we know. You know, I know, they know. We all know. It's just a question of whether you want to publicly acknowledge that you know or not. We're publicly acknowledging it. The Diamondbacks will not until it's officially done, and that's their prerogative. Let's get you a key to tonight's game for the Diamondbacks.
Listen, man, I'm a huge key master.
I am the key master.
D-backs Keys to the Game, brought to you by your Valley Chevy dealers. The most awarded and fastest growing brand 4 years in a row. Find your Chevy today. Visit valleychevy.com.
And for that, we turn it over to the Keymaster himself.
You know, I think when you're out of it, you look at individual performances more than team performances. Greinke's trying to get to 15 wins. He has won at least 15 games in six of the previous seven seasons. He's reached that plateau eight times in his career. That's a benchmark for him to try to get to at least 15 wins. So that's what he's trying to accomplish. Go out there. He's 3-0 with a 2.77 ERA against the Rockies. He wants to get that 15th win.
We're out of here. Everybody have a nice weekend. We'll talk to you 2 o'clock here on the Burns and Gambo Show.
Have a good night, everyone.